Welcome back to Listener's Guide, everybody, a series from Big Secret Records. Each season leads you deep into how the label's releases were made with the artists who made them. I'm Andrew Jones, the owner and operator of Big Secret Records, talking to you from the label's home base in a basement in Portland, Oregon. You're listening to How Good American Songbook by Bob Cummins Jr. was made. And in this episode, we're talking about the song You Were, the second single from the album. We cover a range of topics that will be very interesting to one and all, including the very traditional way that this song came together and the merits of YouTube samples, and why I had to fist fight Bob to put this song on the album. He's still licking his wounds on this episode, and I'm still icing my knuckles, but it's all for the greater good. It's all for art. Enjoy the episode.
What else did you play on Good American Songbook?
Well, the next song.
You Were, you played on.
Yeah, which I feel like that song was very much the three of us just in the room playing it, right?
Yeah, that song was... Yeah. It was, me on the grand, Jasper on bass, you on drums.
And we tracked most of it live.
Yeah, You Were was pretty much tracked live, and then we added Andy's guitar, I think an electric... guitar, yeah, an acoustic and electric and some synths.
Yeah, the whole ending, like we did after the fact, and but yeah, the basic stuff you all did together, and you did a scratch vocal, and then we redid the vocal, and then we added all the guitar stuff at my place.
Mm.
That song for me stands out as a funny one because, well, first of all, I'm so glad you used that sample in it.
Oh, the YouTube phone call sample.
Yeah, because. When I listened to it last night, I just wish you could have seen like the shit-eating grin on my face when it came up, because it was the first time I've heard it since it got put onto the actual album. But like I didn't know you at all when I
heard
that song for the first time. And when that came in for whatever the weeks were leading up to it, I was just like, what the fuck is that? And I thought it was just you. Like, I thought you were just doing a bit. I had no idea. But the other part of it that was funny was that was the first song I demoed and sent you.
Right, and I didn't like it.
You didn't like it.
Yeah, yes.
And I was like, oh, fuck.
You did take some liberties with it, to be fair. But we used it at the end.
We did.
And it transformed the song.
Yes, absolutely.
But it's funny the way that it, like, as a first step, I was just like, oh, fuck, I don't know if this is going to work. Like, am I the guy? Because I don't remember what conversations I had with Andy about it, where I was like, I'm going to reinvent this tune, you know?
Right.
Or why I went in so hot with that attitude. But I'm so glad it turned out the way it did.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, I remember when you would send me the takes before you'd send them to Bob. And I remember that one because I was like, maybe I'll, you know, like, being like, maybe Bob will like it, because I didn't want to say no because it's not my thing. But like, what we ended up kind of coming to was like, I was thinking of like, just like, look at the hi-hat, like think of that as the place to get, like, to really groove on.
Yeah.
And you were like, I don't know. And then like you did it and you were like, yeah, that like helped you, you know, kind of find a new lane.
Yeah.
And then I forgot, but you all reminded me that, yeah, we kept part of what you had done for the ending to kind of like liven it up. And then that led to all the other stuff that we added, like the guitar part and the synth stuff.
Sort of double time. It's like, yeah, I don't know that I would call it that. Cause it's like, isn't it also like in three and then in four and parts of the song too? So it's like,
There's like a long thing.
It's in like, I guess nine.
Nine, yeah.
And then it just goes to eight.
Yeah.
Or 4/4, I don't know. But
I love that the bass comes in with the piano. Like, it all starts really, like, there's not really like an intro. It's like you and the bass right away.
No, because the original version of it was, samples that I made, but it was all, I mean, just like a, mostly a, you know, just a loop of the do-do-do-do-do.
Mm-hmm.
Just going over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
and then the chorus. And so the demo just starts that way too, with just like Owen, what's his name, the advanced bass guy, Owen Ashworth. Mm-hmm. He said that a lot of his songs start that way, like in the demo stage, and I wanted to do something like that.
Wasn't this track one that you wanted to cut?
Yes.
And he convinced you to record for the album?
Yeah, absolutely. It was one that I wanted to cut.
Or even like not include. I remember we were going through a lot of songs and I kept saying like, try like demo or like just do it again, or just send me that demo again so I can hear it like against all the other tracks. Like, send me You Were.
Right.
And it seemed like it ended up fitting for you, I guess.
I mean, one, I thought it was boring. And then two, it just comes from a real personal place. It has to do with my own struggles with just religion and, you know, spirituality. But also, like, the ending of a long friendship, too, mm-hmm. and how those coincide. And so there's a lot going into it.
Yeah. Those are some of my favorite lines, though.
Yeah, I was going to say that's very much as far as, like, getting to know you through the songs before I got to know you, too. I was like, oh, I relate to this really a whole lot. So.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I didn't really know what it was about, but there were, like, a few phrases that were so powerful to me that I was like, this would be a great album track, because there are parts of it that, like, suggest... like what else is going on throughout the album. Like, there's the if I give my life to God, I'll never die. Mm-hmm. Like, that line, I was like, oh my God. Like, I don't know exactly what this is about, but like that concept was so huge that it made this little piano song. And, you know, like, it could have been you on a piano, but like that line made it so much like more grand.
I think also with You Were, like, it's one of the only tracks on the album that's like based on a riff. You know,
mm-hmm.
like,
yeah,
I was doing a delivery job at grocery stores. I was just hearing like a big influence that I hate talking about for this record is just like music they play at the grocery store. Like, like one of the biggest inspirations, if it's subliminal or not, for that song is the
oh yeah.
Like, because it just plays that riff over and over again, especially the Tupac version, uh-huh. where it's just that fucking riff over and over again. But I don't know. I feel like it has a little bit of that Hornsby,
yeah.
in there, like a vaporwaved, slowed down Hornsby.
I loved the song. I didn't hate it, but I didn't like having the sample in it. And in the end, everyone else won out. But that's kind of why I like didn't fight it that hard, because everyone else liked it. And I was like, okay, this is a me thing. Like, this isn't, you know, like people like the sample, so I'm gonna just be whatever about it. But then you also described it in a way that made sense to me, because I was like, I don't understand why it's in here. Mm-hmm. And you were like, well, it's sort of like amplifying this like loneliness theme.
Right.
And I was like, okay. As long as there's like purpose, then okay.
Right.
It's funny, but it is so lonely and awkward, and like just the way someone leaves a voicemail, like that sort of sounds like they're having a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, yeah. Like, well, it's like a probably inspired by the little interludes on Good Kid, Mad City. Mm-hmm. You know, where they're usually like funny. Like, it's a funny thing that's happening. Like, give me my dominoes or, you know, whatever. But it's also like you get a little glimpse into his life, and it's like a lot of them are kind of sad. You know, like,
he's like that sample, because it takes the place of like a solo for me. Like, where you'd expect like a solo in the composition, it's like words. And I don't know, it's a beautiful.
I think that's probably where it came from, because I think I left that open for a solo. It's like, I don't want to do a solo. This song doesn't need a solo.
It's a very anti-solo song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now it's time to rip. That makes me like the sample and the song even more, because I think a lot of your music is really subversive in the way that it's like playing with like these classic forms, and it's like, you know, with an instrument as old as, you know, Western music with piano, and it has like enough humor and enough like different approaches that it sort of like makes like the that singer-songwriter thing so much more modern that it actually kind of makes old stuff seem more dated and kind of like too conservative. We all made the right choice having this song on the album.
All right.
Oh, I love this song. Listen to that ending. That's so great. Thank you, Raymond, for coming up with playing this double time. It wrapped things up in a nice, neat little package. There's nothing more to say about this song. It's just a good song, and you should go listen to it. Stream it multiple times. Put it on when you go to bed and just let it play all night long. Subscribe to the podcast to learn about the rest of Good American Songbook track by track. Visit BigSecretRecords.com or find the label on Instagram and TikTok to learn more about what's next from Big Secret Records. Thank you for listening.